Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, a podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, every single everything, really, in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a virus you get from playing generic first-person shooters, the Batman of podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hey, the Robin of podcasting.
Okay, that's interesting. As a opening, that's a fun opening gambit. Which Robin?
It is me opening gambit. I consider you my ward, so I think the first one.
Sure, yeah. The way you said that suggests you don't know the names of the Robins, but you did say ward.
One of them is named Penis Grayson. It is maybe that one.
It is Penis Cheesecake Butt Shot Grayson. Yes.
Yeah. Do you think that because it's the same character when he was Robin? Mm-hmm. He presumably had the same butt.
Well, the butt changes. The butt changes, Gary.
That is true. I just wonder if people were like, even when he is of age, people were like, oh, he's Robin. We can't talk about his butt. And then he became Nightwing. It's like, oh, thank God.
I mean, I feel like that was a big reason he did the Nightwing transition into, I would say, a more butt-forward costume.
It's pretty butt-forward. I hate that costume.
Yeah.
The Nightwing costume. Yeah, I don't think it looks good. I can tolerate a Robin from time to time, but a Nightwing is tough for me.
It's too streamlined for a Batman character.
Yeah.
But Batman character the costume needs at least and kind a of, little cape.
It needs a little cape. I also think the character's a little streamlined. He's like a guy who hits stuff with sticks and he's real good at it. You know?
Sure. You know, they've if you actually want me to go off on why Dick Grayson is a cool character, I can do that for a while. The Grant Morrison Batman and Robin run where he's Batman is a set of comics that I really, really like. And I think Morrison's thesis on him, like my basic thesis on Dick Grayson is that he's the ultimate triumph of Bruce Wayne because he took a kid in his exact same circumstances and made him not turn out all fucked up and obsessive and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all fine. I just don't like spending that much time with him.
Oh no,
like,
no.
I agree with all that stuff. Either. And I also read that Grant Morrison, you know, that part of that run and it's good. Like Grant Morrison's a good writer. I just don't like spending time with him. I don't think he's very fun. You know, it's
I vote
for his existence. Yeah. I'm glad he exists. I'm glad he exists for Bruce Wayne, but all Batman characters kind of to me are like just there for how Batman acts in relation to them.
Sure.
You know, basically just there for what they can do to Batman.
See, I'm the same way, except it's the Joker. Like, what's Joker?
That is twisted.
I'm kind of like a Joker kind of, like, I really, really like the Joker, you know?
Oh, you're the Joker, baby. Yeah, the Joker of podcasting. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, that's significantly less insulting than the one you said, where I was your sidekick and also a little boy.
You could be both. I bet you Robin has become a Joker. I know that there's a Batman that has tiny little Robins on leashes that have little Joker faces.
So, Gary, you're mixing in a lot of different ideas right now. Yeah, you're referencing the Batman who laughs, which is basically Batman with the Joker's brain inside of him, a la Arkham Knight. There's also, of course, Batman Beyond: Return of the Joker, in which, spoilers, it's eventually revealed that the Tim Drake Robin had a chip implanted in his brain by the Joker that turned him into a new Joker.
I used to have a toy of the chip. It was like a virtual reality Joker toy. Uh-huh. I think that was one of the weirdest looking toys ever. Like, you'd have a little Batman figure and it looked like Batman. And then you had like a 6 foot tall Joker head that was like a cyber Joker, like a Lawnmower Man Joker.
Sure.
And then it was the virus or whatever that Joker was. It got me off so right.
Okay.
It worked.
Hey, Gary, I'm glad that you know what I'm asking when I ask that.
Yeah. I can pick up subtext.
Joker would go down on a guy as a joke, even if Joker himself was fully straight.
Yeah. He just I don't want to do this. I'm, you know, with Harley, but what if we did?
Yeah. Oh my God. It would make Harley so mad.
Yeah, and I don't like her that much because I'm the Joker.
Yeah.
Not good to my wife. You know, bad husband, the Joker.
Common law at best, Gary. Come on.
Yeah, there isn't a wedding up issue.
I don't believe. No, surprised. I don't think the Joker respects the sanctity of marriage, bud.
Well, I could tell you that already. I common law wife.
Yeah.
You know, and that counts. That's close enough for hand grenades and jazz. Like, oh.
Why didn't you say horseshoes, man?
Hey, because I was having fun with words.
Yeah. You want to talk about jazz?
Yeah.
How much jazz have you played? We've both played instruments in our lives.
Yeah. Very little. Every once in a while, I stumble off on something. I'm like, this is a little bit jazzy, you know? But pretty rarely. I'm not a jazz guy generally.
Sorry, I need to live in that moment.
What moment?
You just tooling around and just giving a little smile to yourself and going, this is a little bit jazzy.
It's not even really a smile. I'm just kind of like, huh.
Oh, no,
it's a cold self-evaluation of jazz.
Oh, no. Yeah. Jazz has entered the environment.
Jazz has entered the chat. Mr. Action is on the server. Like, it's, yeah, I'm not a big jazz guy, so I don't like jazz very much. But I'll be like, this is kind of, oh, wow, I was exploring and found a thing that is jazz. Let's not turn that into a song because I don't like that.
Gary, you know how all of your artistic endeavors are, in my brain, just opportunities for complicated jokes that would ruin the artistic endeavor?
Sure.
I need more leverage over you to get you to do these things. How could I get you to pitch to the guys in the band next show, whatever it is, 10-minute jazz exploration in the middle of the set?
I could just say that out loud.
Uh-huh.
And I could not convince them. I don't think that it's pitchable. They would not take me seriously. And if I tried to be really serious about it, they'd be like, nah, man. And then they'd start playing a song.
I mean, that nah, man would feel pretty good to me to imagine. I'll say, I don't need to speak about that hypothetically. It felt very good
to
me.
You can imagine it now. Imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to try to get leverage over me, you could always try kidnapping one of my wards.
Do you mean your cats?
Yeah.
Is this your way of reminding me that you're up 2-0 on me right now?
I am stunting on you.
Yeah.
But you were in the lead for a long time.
Yeah. No, like,
it's kind of a 30 for 30 story.
I've been 2 catnip for the last year. We killed the first one last year.
No, I know. But for the entire rest of the time,
sure,
you were in the lead. I had one for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is kind of a David and Goliath story. You know, at the last minute, bam. And now you're going to have to get, you know, 4
what happened
to come back
the, what
as a
What happened in the BAM, Gary? Can you say explicitly what happened in the BAM?
You know what happened in the BAM.
Say what happened in the BAM, Gary. You were so triumphant
about
the BAM.
You hired an assassin to come kill your cats.
2 separate assassins.
The bad assassin and the good assassin. One that can only tell the truth and one that can only tell lies.
I'm going to keep you alive forever. That's my assassin voice. That's the jackal.
Also, perfectly good Spider-Man villain.
And one of the weirdest scenes in the West Wing.
Yeah? There's a character called the Jackal in the West Wing?
No, it's more... Man, I regret bringing this up. There is a bit in an early season where they're having a party, and everyone keeps going, oh, and by the way, CJ is going to do the Jackal. CJ is the character played by Allison Janney. A lovely woman, a distinguished face. But apparently she had a party trick where she would lip sync to the song The Jackal. And Aaron Sorkin really liked it. I'm looking up whose the song is.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the song.
By Ronnie Jordan.
I really like the idea of there being a character called The Jackal in the West Wing.
I'm sorry, man. The second season
introduces The Jackal.
I'm sorry I couldn't give that to you. Instead, it is an extended lip sync performance by Allison Janney while this like kind of smooth R&B song plays and she vamps a lot. And it's,
I'm groaning so much at Aaron Sorkin shit right now.
I know, man. Do you want to load up CJ Does the Jackal real fast so you can just watch it?
I can have it on in the background.
Yeah, just have it on in the background. Don't have the audio.
I can turn this to my homepage.
Yeah, just type in CJ does the Jackal. We'll both... And then first Reddit
comment.
What's
the deal with the Jackal?
What's the deal with the Jackal?
What is the deal with the Jackal? All right. Got that going.
Yeah, there's a lot of clips of it. I'll go ahead and mute it. This is just... The clip I got is the...
Oh, people are walking and talking.
Yeah, they're walking and talking, but I'll tell you, we're not listening, but what they're saying is, you know, CJ's going to do the Jackal.
What's the Jackal? Who's the Jackal? Well, it's Washington's new crime boss, CJ.
So she doesn't, it's shorter, I'm looking. It's about a minute, I think.
What is this round table karaoke fucking situation they're in?
They're not really doing karaoke. It's just CJ doing the jackal. Everyone's just so excited for CJ to do the jackal.
Abuse on behalf of Aaron Sorkin to like write a character where everyone stands in a circle looking at a character doing a thing he wanted to see.
Well, Richard, did you get to the part where Richard Schiff blew the smoke rings yet? Like he's Gandalf?
He's smoking. I'm getting prelude to a smoke ring. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
We might have different clips. Mine's by Alosis, just to give credit.
No, that's the one I'm on too. But if you look, there is definitely a bit where he like blows a circle and then blows a whole a ship through it.
It's very funny without music.
Yeah.
Like just watching her kind of just do these.
It's less awkward than with the music.
It's actually kind of great without music. Just these close-ups on people just smiling beatifically.
They're like, all so happy. CJ's that's the jackal. Doing the jackal.
Look at that jackal. It's Jacqueline. That's great.
And this is pretty funny. This is from the good seasons where everyone thinks it's good.
Will, do I need to watch The West Wing on mute?
Yeah, man. I think I would enjoy that.
Get a lot out of it. Yeah. I don't know. Like a real extended conversation here with what's his head from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, a visual buffet of smirks and frowns.
Yeah. Oh, we're back. She's wagging her finger.
Yep.
There's the smoke rings.
There we go.
He just wanted in on it.
Yeah, why God of War's own Odin.
It's what he does instead of applauds.
Yeah. I mean, literally, yes.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. This sucks. I found out recently from the guys in the band that in one of the Beatles movies, Ringo gets like a ring he can't take off, and that makes them the subject of, you know, people chasing them.
Sure.
Like a cursed ring. And I didn't know that the Beatles movies had those kind of plots. That's what hearing the Jackal in the West Wing brought me. I was like, holy shit, was I completely wrong about this thing?
Is that from Help?
I think it's from Help.
Yeah. Do you think they gave him the cursed ring because of his name being what it is?
Because it's Ringo Starr?
Yeah.
I think he just inherited it from, what's his name? Sutcliffe.
It is Help. By the way, is an Eastern cult, a parody of the Thuggy cult, is about to sacrifice a woman to their goddess Kali. They notice that she is not wearing the sacrificial ring. Instead, Ringo Starr, drummer of the Beatles, has the ring sent to him by the intended victim, who is a fan of the band.
That is such a relatable scenario. Also, the Thuggy cult, you know, parodies of that are just like, that's comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a name that certainly sounds funny to my Western ears, so...
Yeah.
Mostly makes me think of Temple of Doom.
Makes me think of thugs. You know?
Like what?
Oh, like...
Gary, describe like a thug to me.
Huh? Well, it's a white guy. Whew. And yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. You don't have to say anything. You're good.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Yep. What I do think of thugs, I do think of like mobster goon, to be fair.
Then what and use is the word goon?
Goon is different. Goon is a verb...
For what? Now,
huh? Jerking off like a lot, I think, according to context.
Okay.
I'll ask my Gen Z therapist. I asked her what aura farming is.
Did she tell you?
She says she's not sure. And that made
that's
me
good
feel
therapy,
like
man.
I thought so too. I thought I trusted her more as a therapist. It was a she might have been lying just to get my old head good graces.
Yeah, you don't need to know what that is, and your therapist successfully identified that. So
yeah, she's like, listen, you're paying by the fucking, you know, by the minute. We have an hour here. How do we get past this as quick as possible so we can get back to fucking untangling your stupid heart?
I mean, I'm asking questions about this. Obviously, I'm getting all the notes forwarded Mad Men style.
Yes. Yeah.
You're my January Jones.
Yeah, doesn't know what aura farming is. I ended up looking it up, which I hate, but I was just like curious one day. It sucks.
What is it? Is it just, you know what? I don't actually care. Emma Frost is having her day now.
She is, because of Marvel Rivals.
Someone finally made a mainstream horny portrayal of her in a way that people responded to.
They've been doing that since the 70s as well. Mm-hmm. And they've always been really horny.
Yeah.
They just needed to cake her up. Like, in the comics, she has never been thick. And then Marvel Rivals decided, like, what if she just had a huge fucking dumper? And that's what did it.
That's what did it. Like, that's the key to good character design. Apparently, from what I've seen of Marvel Rivals, a game I've played and did not like.
It kind of is the key to good character design. I like that the world is catching up with the idea that, like, you got to get some fucking thickness in there. Like,
Gary, this is obviously a Binding of Isaac podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Isaac's thick. You know? Ultra Greed's very thick. Ultra Greed has a Dick Grayson ass.
Okay, yeah. Ultra, I can go with you. Isaac's a baby, so I get uncomfortable.
yeah.
Ultra Greed. Oh, so does now you agree with me that he's a baby. Though. Sorry, what?
Now you agree with me that he's a baby. Excellent.
Oh, sure, Gary. I gave up on the idea that I would remember a grudge from this show for that long. Impossible.
Pretty plausible. The idea that you'd forget one seems impossible, but
Gary, yeah. My memory's going, man. I broke the 40 barrier. My memory's going, and we haven't had done that. Also, just repeating those jokes feels repetitive to me.
Yeah. Is that a criticism of me doing the callback?
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
How do you figure?
Because I like to reward loyalty for our listeners that, like, know the old jokes.
If you've listened to more than 100 episodes of this, I have sucked all of, like, your appreciation for me is, I have gotten it all. I don't need you. I need new listeners.
I will say that everyone who listened to this show has either listened to well north of 100 or one episode.
Yeah, that's also very
like, true. It's either all of them or one. I bet you there's nobody who's like, I gave this like 20 episodes and I wasn't into it.
Yeah, and that's why I find the show so inherently unsatisfying.
Yeah, it's not a good source for generally.
Because, you know, the show is so bad over such a long period that I can't respect anyone who likes it.
That it becomes good again.
Oh, okay, sure.
There we go. There's the thing. Thank you for filling in for me last week.
Gary, in the fiction of the show, that is not what happened. I know you haven't listened to the episode. There was simply a longish disclaimer ahead of the regular episode, which was then cut off.
Well, I'm sorry about the technical difficulty that happened. There we go. I appreciate your disclaimer.
Of course. Thank you.
Good disclaimer.
Gary will listen to that someday. I tell myself quietly in the tiny chapel of my heart.
I don't listen to podcasts anymore.
I don't
have a commute.
Go for a walk.
I do go for walks, but usually I've been listening to music. I listen to AM Gold. Like, listen to a lot of cool, like, 70s, like, easy listening. A bunch of Cat Stevens, some Bread. You know, it's been nice. I'm like, maybe I'm going into like an AM Gold phase.
That's really now. Grim, my friend.
I don't know what it is. I'm embracing age.
Yeah, you turned 45.
I turned 45 recently, a week ago, to the day. And I am now enjoying being old. I considered having a mustache for a little while. I watched Bo is Afraid, and I was looking at Nathan Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I could pull that off.
Yeah, I saw you floating you that know? In Guppy Slack.
I could pull
have
that
a
off.
Guy to put those ideas on, and you... Apparently, all of your newsletters are hyper serious and can't have pictures of Nathan Lane in them, I guess.
I can put as many pictures of Nathan Lane in newsletters as I want.
Fucking prove it.
I will.
Send out a newsletter right now that is just a big picture of Nathan Lane.
The interface is actually a huge pain in the ass. Okay. It would be, I couldn't, if you feel like talking about what the Constitution means to you for like, and no joke, like 10 minutes.
I don't. No.
Yes.
I'm actually a little full up on my own voice.
I don't want to, I'm not trying to know but you, but it's not something I can do quickly.
Fine. As long as I can, again, I just want the idea of you wrecking something you're working to build for my amusement.
I don't know if I'm trying to build it. I have no way to tell more people about it. And the idea somebody's like, hey, man, this Maudlin fuck's talking about his dead friend. You should really sign up. I can't imagine anyone doing that.
It's a difficult word. Where do... Gary, go ahead and... How do people sign up for it?
I don't remember.
Great. This is
excellent. There's a link that was on my Blue Sky, which is deactivated.
It's just deactivated, dude.
You can't find it. It's not for... It's just so I can get the stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, it is for me. But I did actually sincerely have this thought recently, and it's like, oh, I should, you know, either make a blog where I put these up, or I need to say that link on like a WAF.
Yeah, you know? Man. Like,
though people can sign up on it. The link's still in the Slack.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
Yeah.
It's just because I read those and I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel feelings that you're trying to get me to feel. It is just like, I don't think you could cope with having a diary that other people didn't read.
Thank you. I'm chewing on that. I think.
Uh-huh.
Give me an uninterrupted string of words here for a moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that there's truth to that. I think that it's a truth that happens in degrees, and I am not unique to that. I think that is a big feature of some, like, how a lot of people use social media as well. Like, I betcha that same thing is true about K, for example. Like, I don't think that K could express the thoughts that she expresses without it be having an audience either. So I think that is true. I just don't think it's uncommon.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100% and wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not a deep and terrible sickness.
It is a deep and terrible sickness. Part of my whole project for this is trying to figure out how the internet is like, broken the shit out of me. It's crazy. I've been talking to Liv about it and stuff too. I've been talking to my therapist, like, yeah, no, it fucking sucks being told by people in real life, hey, you're not on Twitter, you don't have to worry about this.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's fucked up. I don't have the I'm not good at cauterizing stuff and just being like, I don't care about this, and then just deciding that I can't do it.
How's Liv enjoying those conversations lately?
Patiently.
That's so saintly.
Yeah, like with the patience of a saint. She's my best girl. She's you know, cares about me, so she doesn't mind. Or at least is a great actress, which she is. Fuck.
She is.
Yeah. Fuck.
I saw her in multiple different Postures in a Closet.
Yeah. Postures in a Closet was a long running series.
Not that long. It was the
sequel
to
R. Kelly's. Yeah. But yeah, it's been fun. How you been? I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks.
Do you understand how fucked up it is to be a person with my brain and psychology and also have the perception that I'm the one person in my life keeping it together? And if I don't, everyone will fall apart even more. Me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. And it's, I know the answer to this.
It's like an arch, like a stone arch with a keystone made of jello.
Yeah. It's like boom blocks.
Gary, it's exactly like Steven Spielberg's most successful project, boom blocks.
Boom blocks 1 and 2 on the Wii.
I don't think technically it was called Boom Blocks 2. It had some sort of subtitle.
I can't remember. I had it. Those are good games.
They are good games. Remember. Steven's a good game designer. Get back into games, yeah. Steve. Your son makes games.
And stop doing movies. Like, the movies are not that great.
Shots fired.
Shart fire. I get fire shart sometimes. Bash party. There we go. I can empathize with how that feels. It sounds hard.
Do you know what Wii games are really good that nobody talks about?
Excite, I have a guess.
Excite,
I was
bots.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you're going to say. I was about to jump on your shit because I thought you were going to say those Zack and Wiki games, which everyone brings up as like hidden gems on the Wii, and those games fucking suck.
Was there only the one, or did they make a sequel?
I think there's a sequel, but I don't care. I could be wrong.
I didn't finish it. I thought it was cute. No, Excite Truck and Excite Bots. Those games kick ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I only played the first one. I haven't played Excite Bots. I did not know about Excite Bots. masks.
It's more of the same, but they're more willing to go like extreme with how they like blow up the levels and stuff.
Nice. And the nudity.
And
you get to see nude bots.
What?
You get to see nude bots.
Oh. Where's that joke coming from?
No joke. Well, you said they go more extreme with it.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right. Sorry. Yeah. I agree that that wasn't a joke, but it was some sort of logical connection that I did not make.
No, you missed it.
I'm missing things all over the place, buddy. You're also a little quiet in my ears, so I'm talking over you more or trying not to talk over you more.
Lordy, lordy, this is 40. Yeah, welcome.
Because if your voice was more powerful, I would interrupt you less.
Yeah, I can work on that.
Like a Bene Gesserit.
Yeah, or like you can see the nude bots. The bots are naked because it's extreme.
Yeah. So Gary, it's Monster Blitz. We're race. You know what, Gary? What's actually happening is you're just like clipping more.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore.
It's not more. It's not more discernible, and I can feel it making more work for me later. So,
I don't think it is, because my waveforms aren't even getting close to the top.
Yeah, hey, bud, I'm not really listening to you on thoughts on your fucking waveforms right now, man. I had to fix your fucking webcam disaster.
Well, this time you don't have to, because I've got a powerful voice.
Yeah, you're kind of doing kind of like slow Warburton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gary, we're talking about all the enemies in Binding of Isaac.
Mm-hmm. And they just did a huge update.
Fuck.
We're going to get fucking set back. The update's really big. They added golden trinket effects for a bunch of trinkets that didn't have them, Mom's box effects. There's sound effects now for Mama Mega. It's nuts.
What, they added in descriptions, right, to everything?
Yeah.
So now we have to go through and add the descriptions down and, like, rate the description.
Because we didn't do a very good job of that. And you had to beat Mom before it adds the description, so we got to do that.
Oh, man. We're never getting to the pivot, dude. There are people who do not believe the pivot is real, and there are people who believe we are never going to reach the pivot.
Yeah. Well, time will find one of them is wrong. One of them might be wrong, and one of them is right.
Yeah, there's two assassins.
Yeah. I also thought today, I had this wild thought of being like, what if we just started the pivot today? What if I just ran that by you? Just as a fuck you, or like did like a week of the pivot, you know?
And then
revisit
it
in like 2 years. Yeah. And then come back in like 2 years after we finish the monsters.
Yeah, man, Gary, if you had brought that to me before we were 28 minutes into the episode, I might have said yes.
Well, I know. I mean, we can fight to myself.
Do you
want to
go into the pivot right now?
No, we haven't talked about Codworm yet. We can't do it in the middle of a monster.
Sure we can, man.
Interesting monster.
Not?
We haven't talked about the logistics of the pivot.
No, I know, but like maybe this is an exciting moment, Gary, not a scary moment.
Well, now who's my therapist? all right. Yeah, lay it on me.
Okay. All right. We're going to have I'm going to take a couple seconds here to pull up an entry from the pivot. Okay.
Yep. And you link me. And then I'll act like I've known the entire time, and then you do the re-entry, introduce us.
Okay, I'm just gonna hit random here. Okay, and I'll send it to you. We don't have a name for the show that is the pivot.
I got a name for it.
You came up with a name.
I introduced the show.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the main pivot.
Are we burning like... Yeah. It's not going to be a reveal. It's a joke that it's a reveal. Okay, I just noticed... Okay, it did send it to you properly. Okay.
Yeah. One of the tricks is doing this random is the worst way to do it.
Absolutely, but I don't have like...
Yeah. It's okay. I don't know how else to do it. Ho, 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 it's magic. The Gathering. Hello, and welcome to Everything to Joven, the Magic the Gathering podcast that talks about every single Magic card in the Magic of the Gathering series of collectible trading card games. My name is Gary Butterfield, and with me as always is Marshall Mathers himself, Will Hughes.
Sure, Gary. We're already fairly worried about being ripped to shreds by the magic people. You can't call it Magic of the Gathering, but in the intro.
That's how we maintain plausible deniability.
Sure. Yeah, it's Wizards the Coast's Magic of the Gathering.
The Magic of the Gathering. Da 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 da. And of course, we're talking today about the Skyclave Shade.
Absolutely. I'm Skyclave Shady. All the other Skyclave Shadies are just imitating Gary. So one of the hooks of the pivot is going to be you knowing a fuck ton about magic and me knowing none. Yeah.
I know a fuck ton about magic circa 1998.
Sure.
So it's a real part of the reason why this pivot is good is because we've chosen an audience with no sense of humor.
Yeah.
And somebody who knows nothing and somebody who knows things that are outdated, like before they got rid of the stack, is going to infuriate people.
The stack.
I can't think of anything to make people more mad. The stack was a way of like resolving things that happened at the same time.
Cool. So yeah. Okay. Like a timing chart. I understand, but it's just
yeah, kind of a timing chart. Yeah.
But like Gary, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking at Skyclave Shade from 2020. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of words and none of them are the little story part that I like.
No. Yeah. There's no, no story to the Skyclave Shade. This is from Zendikar Rising. That's the set about when Zendikar rose.
Oh, cool. Zendikar. We don't like.
Yeah. I don't know. It's after my time.
Fuck.
So what we got here by 1998 standards, this is fucking sick.
Sure. But you mean this the art or the card as a whole?
The card as a whole seems pretty good.
It's Mr. Fantastic's ghost.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Man, I never thought about whether Mr. Fantastic's ghost could do all, if the Fantastic Four, all of their things carried on to ghost form.
Sure.
What would the things ghost be like?
Fucking tombstone.
That's really good. And he fights Spider-Man.
Sure.
He's kind of like an angry guy. He's got a diamond on his forehead, like he's kind of from Journey or something, you know?
What do you mean from Journey?
Like the game Journey. Like it looks like kind of that design.
Gary, I'm a games journalist. You can't blow up the fact that I've never played Journey.
Oh. Well, that's the real pivot.
I'll be drummed out of the industry. You got to take that back, buddy.
I take it back.
Hey, he's got a jewel in his head like he's from Journey.
Yeah, there we go. Like an indie game where shadow things come out and attack you. Like it looks like any number of indie games. That was real huge for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of looks like one of those.
I think they're fairly easy to program, probably.
I think they're really easy to program. And also Ico. Like people were like, oh, fuck, let's do this again.
You know? So this is a 3/1 creature. It's a shade. You'll be shocked to learn.
Yeah.
How much
does it cost? I'll tell you what kicker means. What does it cost?
No, we're gonna play this card. The cost is the last thing we talk about, Gary, because at the end we're like, is this cost effective?
Is this worth it?
Is this worth
for it? For 1998. Yeah. kicker means if you want to, you can spend this extra mana.
Play it or just for fun?
When you play it.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to play extra, you can, and something will happen if you pay extra.
In this case, if Skyclave Shade was kicked, it enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters on it. Those counters seem like bullshit to me, man.
How so?
I don't know. I'm already playing Magic. Do I really need to also have coins or whatever? Come on.
You had to have so many fucking coins, and there are like 7 dozen different types of coins. There are blood coins and map coins and clue coins and lander coins and treasure coins.
The little tokens that are like, oh, this is the minions it summoned. It's not.
Yes. It's for every single creature clubs, that exists. Dude. Yeah. The number of little coins that you have would kill a man. Like you could go back to medieval times and kill a peasant with the magic tokens they have now. He can't block though. This guy.
Yeah. So he's just a punchy boy.
Yep. If you know, as you mentioned, and he has a thing called Landfall. Landfall does explain itself.
Yes.
Something we're going to run into is some of these mechanics explain themselves, some of them don't, and many of them after, say, like 2002, I don't know what they do.
Yeah, this one seems pretty straightforward. When you play a land, which you're doing most of your turns, right, early on?
Yep, definitely early on.
If this guy's dead, if he's in your graveyard, you can play him from your graveyard.
Yeah, really good. Hard to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Can be beefy. For the time this came out, these are decent stats. 3-1 is, you know, for the time, for my time, this is incredible.
Sure. Amazing.
You know, for the time this came out, this still seems decent.
And this seems cheap. You can play, this is a one and black. One untyped and one black. So what, you can play this on turn two.
Two turn, unless you have any way to accelerate mana, a ramp, as I teach you the vocab.
I love to learn vocab.
Yeah. And you know, no flavor for this guy. He's just a shadow monster.
It's just a fucking ghost, dude.
Good black aggressive creature. Here.
Is Zendikar good or bad? Do we like Zendikar?
Trying to remember what Zendikar's thing is.
Is it ghosts? Rose.
Nope. I can't remember what Zendikar's thing is. It was after my time. And this is actually a return to Zendikar. This is the second time Zendikar happened.
Oh, shit.
On the page you have, we also have a really rich vein for this in the notes and rules information.
Okay,
for Cyclave Shade.
Oh, why is there so much written for this? One of these lines is, if a spell's kicker cost was paid, the spell is kicked.
Yep. The rules of magic. Ooh, baby.
Like, I play Arkham Horror, but because Arkham Horror isn't being played by assholes trying to destroy each other, I feel like there's a little bit more niceness to the rules.
It's not competitive, and there's several orders of magnitude fewer interactions. Like, Arkham Horror is pretty complicated, but, like, you know, Magic was very complicated when I quit. Just a lot of these cards all can technically work together. But yeah, we learned a lot about this guy in this episode.
And now the final part of every episode of Everything to Whatever the show is called. What is it called?
Everything to Joven.
Who's Joven?
If you look up a picture of Joven,
yeah,
it's kind of like us if we were Magic cards.
Joven, Magic. Is this? Oh, okay. Yeah, this is one of the guys who was a human being who won a tournament, right? So they had to turn an ugly man into it. He was the head of customer service team.
Surprisingly not. He has a brother named Chandler, though.
Uh-huh.
There's Joven and Chandler, which I figured if, you know, for art for this show, that's what we'd go for.
Joven was a nickname of Wizards of the Coast's head of the customer service team, Kyle Namvar, who also owned pet ferrets. That is
the
most
damning... I've never seen somebody who looks like he has if you've ever seen anyone who looks like they own pet ferrets more than this guy?
That is the single most damning one fact you can add to someone's biography. Who
that's
also
incredible.
Own pet ferrets.
I want to see if I can find a picture of the actual dude. Kyle Namvar. Kyle Namvar. It sounds like a Star Wars-ass name.
He could be in a fighter helmet universe. Yeah, no.
Yeah, here he is getting ready to take out insurgents.
Well, that person's a registered nurse. I don't know if they're...
Yeah, a flight nurse. And here's a picture of De La Fontaine from Thunderbolt, so I don't know what's going on here.
That is complicated, yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah, this was the last thing we do on every episode of Everything to Joven is deck it or fuck it.
Deck it or fuck it. I am not an ectosexual. I've known people who I think have expressed sincere curiosity in having sex with ghosts, but I'm not one of them.
What's the interest there, do you think?
It's a great question. As an old person, I don't understand anyone's interest in any sex that isn't me, basically, anymore. People have bizarre things they want to do with sex. Like, I can't get on board with monster fucking. I can't, like, ghost fucking is a whole another level for me.
You can't get on board with monster fucking. Speak more on that.
I get grossed out by monsters, and I think it's weird that it's very common on the internet to be very turned on by them. You know, to, like, see the monster from, like, Shape of Water and be like, that's good, that's sexy to me. It just looks gross and like wet and slimy and has like
What about the wide variety of monsters that are specifically coded to human beings' fear of female sexuality?
So like Cthulhoid vaginas and stuff?
No, I'm like a siren or a succubus. Things that are like predicated on the idea that women just want to drain the life out of you and kill you by leading you around by your dick.
So most succubi that I've seen just look like ladies.
Sure.
You know, they don't look like monsters.
Okay.
Sirens.
They don't look like monsters.
They don't look like monsters to me. Good pull. You didn't even play that game in good pull.
Stop it. Stop saying games I haven't played. I'm a game journalist. I played them all. Shut the fuck up, dude.
Sirens have like something else with their body? Do they have in Monster Train? They're mirror ladies. Do they have fish vaginas, a siren?
Sometimes they get portrayed as birds.
Yeah. I think about the siren from What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay, sure.
Or something. Yeah, not sexy to me.
Okay.
You know, either has a fishtail and like I'm a pussy man looking for a vagina. If I Google image search siren, it's all octopus and fish bottoms.
Yeah.
Not into it.
Okay.
You know? And they have to use magic to seduce you as well. You're not supposed to be into it. Like, the song is what makes you horny.
Has a song ever made you horny, Gary?
Well, one time when I was making love as a teen,
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, BBC. Everything to Joven.
Yeah. No, this is good. This is all
there will be like horny monsters that we can, like, obviously. Oh, yeah. So that's, I guess that's what Decadent Fuck It is this a sexy magic card?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Brawl legal, which I find arousing, but
yeah, it's and I guess that also leaves no opportunity for not putting in the deck you know, if it's not in the deck, you want to fuck it. So we're going to be real rough. It's going to be tough when we get to like Jade Horse, you know, these just not very good magic cards that, you don't want to have sex with presumably. And they're also made of jade. Ouch.
Sorry, I got distracted by Legal Penny.
Yeah. What's Legal Penny?
Oh, it's one of the... it made me think of the Bloody Penny episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Penny when she gets of age.
I'm afraid so.
Fetcher Gadget's niece.
Yeah.
Those are the days. Unfortunately, we pivoted. So.
Unfortunately, we have pivoted. Although we are now pivoting back to Everything to Guppy now that we've... That was everything to Joven.
For a limited time, though, are we back in Everything to Guppy? Like, we got to get through the monsters, then we have maybe rooms. But after that, watch out.
Like, that's actually the pivot. That is what we are doing. It has been the plan for more than a year at this point.
Yep.
If you hate it.
We had some other ideas in there for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's the idea. The Codworm.
Because I pitched you a couple times on Pokemon, and you wouldn't bite.
I bit. I said Pokemon would work. My original idea was to do something different for each one for like a couple weeks, and then land on something. I wasn't against Pokemon.
Okay. I'm sorry to falsely remember in ways that benefit myself. It's okay.
I do it to you all the time. I don't feel good about it, but I falsely remember your opinions, too. So
I feel totally neutral about it.
Yeah. I feel neutral about doing Pokemon as a thing. We could do that as well, but we had to get through all the magic cards first.
Codworm is an irritating enemy, Gary.
Really irritating. It's also suggests interesting things about the ecology.
True. You know
this? Because he's one of those Diglets. He's one of those little tooth guys that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he lives in a, like a tumor? Turtle.
Tumor?
Turtle tumor.
Yeah. Teratoma.
Well, he doesn't live in a teratoma. We know that guy's a guy. But this is one of the many. I had a moment of gratification when I was talking to Kay. Kay also really fucking hates Keep Away enemies to the same degree I do. Hate Keep Away. Don't just make it so I can't hurt you for a while. Sucks.
Well,
I don't know. Don't like it as a mechanic.
I have a little trouble with Keep Away as the name for that because this guy doesn't move. He's not. That's true. Simply is invincible for a large amount of time.
That is true. Keep Away is different. How about Timeout?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just yeah. boring. And this guy's especially annoying because his response, his keep away response, is to getting shot.
Yes. So you get to do one little bit of damage to him, and then he hangs out in his shell for a little while.
And if you pops hit the out, shell he while he's in there, he doesn't come yeah. out.
Yep. You have to, it's similar to the hosts, yep. the Skullheads. And you just have to leave him alone for a little while, and when he pops out, he shoots. So you have to dodge out of the way and still get in your shot. Sucks.
Yeah, it's just kind of boring. I don't think I've very often gotten hit by this guy. I feel like he doesn't end up in, like, room arrangements where he's, like, a big problem for me. It's just he'll be the last thing alive in the room, and then I just have to wait.
Yep. As a greed mode player, he is entirely different dynamic, because if you don't take them out, it will persist between waves. The assassination of Franz Ferdinand.
By the coward Robert Ford.
Yes. Yeah, by the coward Modest Mouse.
By the coward Modest Yahoo.
Modest
King without a crown, keep falling down.
All right. He's cute.
Gary, name Godworm. Your top three favorite Modest Yahoo tracks.
Well, zero of them. I don't know who that is. I figured you were referencing something. I thought for a second you were saying Netanyahu. And I was like,
I sure wasn't.
You're making a reference to something that I don't understand about current events. I've been off Blue Sky, so I don't.
Oh my God, load up Modest Yahoo King Without a Crown.
Okay.
I know I'm making
you
watch
spell
a
Modest
lot of.
Yahoo?
What?
Oh, that worked. I was like, how do you spell Modest Yahoo? And I got it in one. Surprised. Okay, so I should be watching this video. Oh, this is the rapper who kind of looks like a rabbi.
Yeah, dresses kind of like an Orthodox guy.
Yes, I've seen this guy before.
Yeah. You know, King Without a Crown, fun song.
I don't know it. Here he is live from Stubbs performing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gary, I didn't mean to get us on a Jackal-esque digression there.
Did it go, when you were singing it, it didn't sound like a rap. You were like, King Without a Crown, King Without a Crown. Is that
King
how
Without
it
a
goes?
Crown, I keep falling down. Because he's doing it in a little bit of like a patois, a little bit.
Yeah, I remember him having kind of a patois vibe a little bit.
God bless
few
the word patois for
heard.
Saving us from saying slightly racist accent.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like it. A patois.
A soupçon of patois.
It sounds fancy.
It does.
Yeah. That's the one of the things about the pivot is we're going to really up our vocab game.
Yeah, I mean, it's we'll also going to be up. A word a week calendar.
Yes. And we're going to have to because Gary. Of how complicated.
Gary, we forgot to do the word a week calendar. Hold on. Let me just pull up a random word a week. Okay. I'm just going to go to Merriam-Webster and then pull up a random
word. If anyone's mad about that, you have to chill out because this is a preview. This is like a preview night, like friends and family discount, you know, preview night of the pivot. We will have all of these things ironed out by the time we get to the pivot.
Shambles, a butcher shop, a street or district for butchers.
Interesting.
Now that was from randomword.com because I couldn't find a random entry on Merriam-Webster.
An actual dictionary doesn't have that much use for random word.
What if I want to learn all the words, but I hate the alphabet?
Yeah.
I'm already having to fight the urge to tear the book in half with my big, powerful arms.
It would be difficult, but I'd like to watch you do it. We're going to get buff for the pivot?
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, oh, we did, Gary, we didn't do the push-up section.
We didn't do the push-ups? Hold on a second. Okay. Everyone, please, some patience.
Gary?
Yep.
We're doing some jokes, and I know you've been having like some health stuff. Can we both, with our headphones still on, just try to do 10 push-ups?
No, I can't today.
Okay.
The health stuff is too bad with that.
I'll run solo, man. I'll run solo.
Okay, sorry. I can make noises like I am, but today I'll vomit.
No fucking theater of the mind bullshit. This is the theater of steel.
Of pain.
All right.
The theater of pain fighting X-Men 2099.
All right. Done a push-up in probably 3 years, and I have a rotator cuff issue, which may become extremely disastrous extremely quickly.
Fucking do them one arm, then.
Yeah,
pussy?
Sure. With my one arm, I'll lift 280 pounds of man. Like a superhero.
Well, that's the kind of thing we can do on the pivot. That's what Magic the Gathering players can do.
Gary, if I just make the noises like I'm doing a fucking push-up, then it's... we're back in the theater of the god... You're doing too much Magic the Gathering shit. All your mind's eye theater goddamn bullshit. This is the...
What are you talking about?
Iron Church.
I'm trying to help you.
I don't want the help. I want the pain.
Do it. Are you doing it?
Oh, God, my shoulder. I tried to do my shoulder instantly.
Oh my god. Did you mean to text your wife?
No, I can get up. Okay. All right. Oh god. Oh god.
So my self-preservation instinct is not good for comedy. We've established this.
Yeah, man.
If I had puked at the exact moment that happened, we'd have to retire the show. I don't think there'd be a better audio note to go out on.
Yeah, just up in the duck feed rafters.
Yeah, just like that's the end of it. Like, just fuck, man. I don't think we can top that shit.
All right, so current push-up count, 0 for 1. Gary. Half for yep. Will.
Yep. Like cats, you're ahead of me for now, but I will catch up.
I'm not ahead of you. I have no cats.
Well, like for a long, but I've caught up.
Sure. Yeah. I did a work trip this past week, and you know how your brain doesn't always update properly and it creates moments of grief?
Sure.
I had the thought as I was getting in the car, as Olivia picked me up very kindly late at night back from my trips, like, oh, now I get to cuddle my cats.
Yeah.
But I didn't because they're ash.
Yep. Coming back to cats is the best part of coming home.
Yeah.
It sucks to miss that.
And cuddling would simply ruin the shirt.
Yeah. Try it.
We haven't actually gone and picked up the ashes because it's too. The first time we went and did it for Kermie was so harrowing that we had to go.
Do you think there'll be
a
hilarious mix up when you go? Like, I don't know, maybe you'll get like, instead of ashes, they'll give you like Kool-Aid powder or something, or like the ashes of a Great Dane. Like, they'll give you like a huge duffel bag full. And you're like, there must be some mistake. I had two regular sized cats, not. You know, a Clydesdale.
Yeah, but they were very dense.
Yeah, they're concentrate. Yeah, getting the ashes for a Clydesdale and having it be like a huge monument in your house is very funny to me.
Waste of glue.
It is a waste of glue, but you know, I mean, you can still harvest the glue.
You're cutting off the hooves and then burning the rest of the horse?
Yeah, and then if they go to horse heaven, they don't have feet, but that's okay because they can hover around, you know?
I mean, I know all of this from my favorite instructional album, The Wallflowers Bringing Down the Horse.
Yeah. Most of it was about, like, car repair. It sucked. I was really hoping for more about the horse stuff.
Yeah, well, but it was because keeping your car going is a way to keep horses down.
That, you know what? That is true. I wasn't reading between the lines. Yeah.
As long as we keep the automotive industry going, the horse is suppressed.
Yeah, which is good as far as I'm concerned. I'm not like super into the horse.
Yeah, you're not a McElroy.
No, they're scary. Are the McElroys into horses?
They are very into horses, Gary.
That's excellent. This is the first time, like, thank God. when something is cremated. It's very surprising how heavy it is. Like, my mom is heavy, the urn. And the urn itself is probably contributing a lot, but, like, I've picked up an urn that does not have my mom in it. And the difference, like, I've done the tear weight.
Sure.
And the difference is staggering.
Yeah, like, and that...
take a person, yeah.
That difference is the weight of the ashes, Gary.
It's the weight of the soul. It's 23 grams times, like, whatever number of pounds.
I think it's 21 grams.
Oh, I think you're right. Fuck. Yeah.
Were you thinking of the number 23?
I was thinking of 23 and me.
We should do that. We should both get our genetics tested and see who wins.
every once in a while I have a legitimate, wins in what way? In a racial way? Where are you going with that?
No, just like in a eugenics way.
Oh, okay. Oh, phew. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I get a wild hair and I try to look up pictures of my dad. I've done it on this podcast as well.
Yeah.
And I was doing it yesterday and I found out a new member of that coterie died. Both my grandparents on that side and my dad's girlfriend or common-law wife, I believe, her daughter, who
Harley
I knew,
Quinn.
Died. Harley Quinn's daughter, Cracker Jack. I don't know what Harley Quinn's daughter to be named. It wouldn't be Punchline because that's somebody else.
So your common-law stepsister.
My common-law stepsister. Yeah. Yeah.
And how's that make you feel?
A little bit odd because there was a picture. Like, the thing I'm seeking in this is to look at a picture and feel weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I'm doing something on that same scale right now.
Yeah?
Go ahead and type the number 23 in and just look at the pictures of Jim Carrey. There's one of him holding a saxophone that I think is going to be really useful for the show.
Okay, number 23. Images. Scanning. No sax yet. Just a lot of him being thin and stuff. I haven't got the saxophone. It hasn't popped up for me yet. Might be a Google thing. Getting a lot of him.
This is the IMDb picture. It's from IMDb. Maybe type in Christine Loss. That's the photographer, I guess.
Okay. Because, yeah, this is just a lot of him as a Batman villain. As Zaz.
So I didn't put... Yeah, he definitely does have a Zaz. Boy, the Christine... I'll go ahead and just send you...
Oh, no, I got it.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Somebody
told
It's
like told a novelty small saxophone.
Yeah, it's a... What is it, a tenor sax?
A little tenor. A little alto.
Somebody right around now told Jim Carrey that he looked a little bit like Johnny Depp, and they shouldn't have.
It's weird for Jim Carrey to go for, like, sexy and strung out. Like, I know that's the premise of the movie. I know he does that. But, like, with a saxophone, this is really weird with the tattoos.
The saxophone is do you think Jim Carrey thinks he looks kind of hot in this photo? He looks hot. Do you think he thinks he looks kind of hot in this photo?
I think that at least at the time he did. I don't know if he still thinks it because he's such a weirdo, but I bet you at one point he was like, this is the sexiest I've ever fucking looked.
I don't think you hold a saxophone like that without thinking this is going to get some jeans creamed.
And what the fuck is the plot of number 23 if he's playing saxophone in it?
It feels like
it's not
fucking,
quite like Magic Ring and Help, but like...
It feels like a fucking David Lynch kind of thing almost.
It does look like David Lynch. Looks like some Lynch bullshit. Like he's going to actually play jazz. That was a Lynchian twist. Like he plays jazz for like 6 minutes.
What is it? Bill Pullman in Lost Highway.
Lost Highway. Yeah. You know, like, we just got to cut to some jazz.
And if there's one thing to take away from this episode of Everything to Guppy and the other podcasts contained within it, it's that it's just all jazz, baby.
Yeah, it's kind of a jazz podcast. We're pivoting in 5/4 time.
It's a sort of comics gumbo.
I don't think I have a review for us.
I threw out I think you should leave reference and got nothing for it.
I know, I appreciate.
Yeah, Gary, what should people do if they enjoy the show?
Well, you should go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Right now our feeds are all having a problem, but that's not our fault. It's Fireside's fault.
Today's the first time I get to go into the Patreon to load the episodes there. Thanks for the work, Kay.
Yeah. Classic Kay. And I got a little, and you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, or send me a postcard along with a knife.
Sure.
That I put aside and forgot to read when I first got it. And I apologize. Everything to Guppy is a podcast where one of the hosts has a knife. The podcast mostly covers how the knife was directly inspired by Caravaggio's painting Sacrifice of Isaac, which Abraham is about to use a simple knife to sacrifice his son until divine intervention stops him. The two hosts, Puggy and White Gambit, sometimes riff on the fact that it was forged from scrap, 1095 or 1009S steel, and was hardened with a differential Japanese technique known as hamon to produce a sharp edge and flexible spine. Occasionally, the podcast gets dark, as one of the hosts will bring up a personal trauma related to the handle of the knife, which is fashioned from salvaged hickory and brass pins, and inscribed with the Latin words for nulla larua, which is all real guppy heads know means no ghost. Before things got too real, they break the tension by recalling that the knife is a co-production of Mr. Reciprocity and the Ugly Machine, with one covering the ideas and the other swinging the hammer. This podcast is boring as shit. Why would they only talk about one thing for so long? Who would listen to that? Is this a joke? 2 stars. And that is a 5-star podcast I got from a postcard.
Sure. I'm looking at this Caravaggio painting. It's a dinky little knife.
Yeah. Well, then I'll show you the real knife at some point.
I know. I've seen the pictures.
Also, I can show you in real life.
Yeah, I was over at your house and you didn't bring out a knife to show me. A shame.
Mm-mm. No, it's in my closet because it's very sharp and I'm a little scared of it. I need to figure out a way to. Scary. Yeah.
Are you looking at this Caravaggio painting?
I was for a second and I closed it. It is a small knife.
It's, but also, like, Caravaggio was like, I really am trying to get into, like, barnyard illustrations. I know, like, right now, like, the religious stuff is paying the bills and that's great, but my passion is drawing goats and other barnyard animals. Can I get a goat in here, maybe, kind of looking like it's like the toasty guy from Mortal Kombat? Do I think
it's real cute?
Can I have a goat ghost. Photobomb this?
Yeah, I like this this depiction of divine intervention. I'm like, nah,
hey, cut it out.
Yeah, the guy grabs your hand and goes, that's an angel. No,
hey, bud, stop it.
He looks so pissed. Like, he really wanted to sacrifice Isaac.
God told him to. He's getting real mixed signals from God.
And then God's like, nah. Yeah, what a fucked up story.
Yeah. The angel's like, I know what he fucking said, man. Don't be a dipshit.
And I'm telling you now. Yeah. And now I'm saying, don't do it. And the goat's like, please do it.
Please. He has to sacrifice me otherwise.
That is what the goat's thinking. Because he's got those eyes. That goat looks very sad. This is like anti-divine intervention for the goat.
Oh, that's
this should be the episode art for this episode.
Okay.
For the pivot.
I don't know who has the rights to this.
We do. It's fucking everything to Guppy. Nobody gives a shit.
Okay. Don't be mean.
That's not mean. I'm just like, who's going to sue? Caravaggio is going to sue everything to Guppy.
What if he does? Mussolini's the granddaughter always gets on Jim Carrey's nuts.
Yeah. And it's because he won't blow her like he blows that good sax.
Ooh, Gary, that's liable to somebody, but I don't know who.
It's not to me. No ghost.
No ghost.